time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by panelist educator Lori Fisher. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
All right, and we are joined by our third guest, Joshua Cosman. Okay, glad everybody's here. I have a feeling that the flurry of callers that we had just before the show began, they could have been people who are calling early for our show. See, that's the way I look at it. I have an optimistic view.
You do. Christmas spirit.
Yeah, Christmas spirit.
Wait, did you guys publicly shame me for being late before I came on?
No, not publicly. 30 seconds, we would have publicly shamed.
All right. Sorry about that.
Privately, but not publicly.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, yes. All right. Take off the sackcloth and ashes. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. Welcome. We are usually here at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning. And, of course, the station is doing funding today, trying to bring up money for the support of a fine cause, which is KALW. Of course, KALW is the Tiny Tim of public radio. So if you want to eliminate his crutch, now's a good time to give. So we will be doing pledge breaks at 15, 30, and 45, but it won't get in the way of the show too much. So I want you to feel free to call. We certainly want to hear from you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we still have a toll free number. 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. This is a great time to call, by the way. We're not going to bother you about money. That's not my job. That's the John Carroll will do that, but we just want to have some fun and we have some great questions for you. So 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you can email us in case you're shy or don't want to talk to us, and that email is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one at gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at KALW.org. And we have just enough money that the podcast could go up after the show today. And that will be at KALW and many other places. But start with KALW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. Okay. All that being said, I think we got the introduction thing figured out. It was my fault, as it usually is. And so we'll do this. And first, I have to read Josh's, which I don't have. Do I have it?
Yeah, it's in your email.
Okay.
You do.
Let me look. I got it here.
You got to come to rehearsals, Dana.
Okay. In a minute. Find it. I got it. All right.
All right. Here we go.
Joshua Cosman was not awakened by the 5:30 a.m. tornado alert in San Francisco this morning because insomnia had done him the kindness of ensuring that he was already awake for the occasion.
Was there a 5:30 alert?
There was a tornado alert in San Francisco. Apparently, the first one ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz comes to the West Coast.
It was giving balm, as they say.
But you know, it's not climate change because that doesn't exist.
Yeah. And Lori Fisher, in a surprise policy shift, President Biden's recent decision apparently was based on how many times Lori Fisher has said, pardon me, during his entire lifetime. Roughly 1,500, including this morning.
Yes, pardon me. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, was going out to buy Christmas gifts for his loved ones today. But due to the weather, he'll get those Chia Pets tomorrow.
That's right. Walgreens.
They might be sold out, though. Be careful.
Mm. All right. Now you know a little bit about us, and we're expecting those calls. And I will start with Joshua Cosman.
Okay. Here's a, yeah, I never get to go first. This is nice. As you know, Pope Francis is the first pope ever to come from Argentina, or indeed from anywhere in South America. The overwhelming majority of popes have been Italian. According to Wikipedia, that's 217 of them out of 266 altogether. My question for you are, A, what is the second most common nationality represented in the papacy with 16, most recently in 1378? And in addition to Argentina, what are the other three countries that have only been represented by a single pope? So again, Pope Francis, the first and only pope from Argentina. What is the most of the popes have been Italian by a large margin. What is the second most common nationality represented in the papacy with 16? And in addition to Argentina, what three countries have been represented by a single pope?
Well, I know that I believe there was only one from the UK, Adrian. Is it Adrian?
That is correct. Wow. Well done, Dana. Yeah. Yes, Adrian the Fourth.
And is the second most represented country France?
It is.
All right.
All right.
My Jewish background clicking.
You guys are knocking these out. So and, in addition to, so yes, as Dana said, there was one English pope. There are two other countries in addition to England. And it wasn't the UK then. It was England. In addition to England and Argentina, there are two other countries that have only been represented by a single pope.
Well,
no, there was a, go ahead.
The last one was German or Austrian.
Benedict. Yeah, he was German, yeah. but not the only one. There have been other German popes.
Okay. And how about, wasn't in our lifetime, wasn't a pope from Poland?
That is correct. John Paul II. I'm laughing.
That's right.
You've already forgotten.
Yeah.
He was pope for 25 years.
My Catholic knowledge is definitely small C Catholic.
And yeah,
I remember him because I thought he was named after two of the Beatles, but that's a whole other story. Yeah. All right.
So there's one other country that has been only represented by a single country, a single that has only been represented by a single pope. And I'll give you a useless hint since you've gotten the low-hanging fruit. We're talking about Pope Adrian the Sixth.
Oh. You mean that's the name of the pope?
That was the, yeah, papal name.
So
not his birth name.
And can we assume that this is in Europe?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Adrian. Huh. Was there ever a pope from Greece?
No.
All right. Right. And let's see. Laura, you go ahead too, please.
All right. Well, since it's a pledged week, a week for donations, I'll do my usual thing that for every correct answer that we get, either on the panel or Joanne or on the phone or email or callers, I'm going to donate $5 to the KLW up to, we'll say, about $100. So let's get all those right answers in. And my first question is about Christmas songs. Last week, I asked the question about the most different recordings there were of various Christmas songs, Silent Night winning with 137,000 different versions. I'm going to give you six titles, and I want to know who recorded the version that sold the most copies. So it was White Christmas, it would be Bing Crosby, obviously, so I'm not asking that one. All real well-known, all have more than 50,000 different versions. Mm-hmm. I want to know who sold the most copies of Winter Wonderland. Number two is Jingle Bells. Number three is Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Four is Little Drummer Boy. Five is I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. And six is Baby, It's Cold Outside. So I'm looking for the person who, each of these has more than 50,000 different recordings. I want to know who has the number one, all really well-known people. Winter Wonderland, Jingle Bells, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Little Drummer Boy, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, and Baby, It's Cold Outside, and the station gets money for every correct answer. What do you got?
Well, the I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, that was the novelty record. That was Jimmy something or other.
It was Jimmy something, but somebody recorded after him that sold more copies.
I know Spike Jones had a big recording with it.
He did.
Was it Spike Jones?
It was not. I think it was Jimmy Boyd. That brings him.
Yeah, Jimmy Boyd.
Yeah, but not Jimmy Bell or Spike Jones. More recent than either of those. In fact, it's the only semi-recent one on the list.
Okay. I'm sorry. Would you give away the other ones once?
Yeah. Winter Wonderland, Jingle Bells, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, Little Drummer Boy, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, which has the one that's sort of contemporary. I think it was in the 80s. The rest are much older. And Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Baby, It's Cold Outside. Interesting.
I was surprised.
Right. Is it one of those that's really non-pop stars who are doing a pop song?
No, this person is a very mainstream, hugely successful kind of performer in, I'll put him in the 50s and 60s. And most of them are more or less in that era.
Huh. Sort of a Jack Jones sort of thing?
That's kind of a Jack Jones kind of thing.
All right, okay.
A person who performed in a tuxedo quite a bit.
All right.
We'll leave it out there.
Okay.
Josh, you have any guesses?
I got nothing, man. These are from a pop era about which I know little or nothing.
Well,
so I'm not going to try.
I never found it popular, but they're all in my head. Like when I saw it, I said, oh, yeah, I've heard that for,
yeah.
Probably heard it yesterday in Target or wherever.
So, I mean, you derisively dismissed Bing Crosby's White Christmas, which I accept.
Well, only because
I know it's too easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Bing Crosby anywhere else on this list?
He is.
Is it Little Drummer Boy?
It is not.
All right. Bing All right, Crosby, Dana.
Give the list once more.
It's Winter Wonderland, Jingle Bells, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, Little Drummer Boy, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, and Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Well, I know Bing Crosby did Jingle Bells with the Andrews Sisters.
That's it. That's
Is that
the
it?
Correct answer. 1943. Sold right, more good. Than a million copies in 43. Way to go. All right.
Good. Glad I got that. Thank All you, right. Josh. I probably would have gone.
Right. Good teamwork.
Did me.
Yeah.
All right. Carlton says wonders if it's Baby It's Cold Outside with Ray Charles.
Oh, Ray Charles has a great version, but he does not have the biggest seller.
Okay. And Carlton is also wondering if the other nationality for the Pope is Japan.
No, that is.
I don't know if that's facetious or not.
I was going to say usually I say, oh, good guess, but not right. But I'm not sure that's even a good guess.
A funny guess.
No disrespect, but no Japanese popes yet.
All right. Well, how could you take any disrespect from that? All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. The Rocking Around the Christmas Tree might be Brenda Lee.
It might be, because it is 1958. Really good.
Go.
Yeah, great version.
And my other thought is Baby It's Cold Outside is Dean Martin.
It is Dean Martin.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, good.
You throw the
oh, good.
Back.
Good. Okay.
You are rocking the Christmas tree. Way to go.
Those are the only two I know.
Well, those are great.
Those are very good.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And you are, before we go on, tell me which one was Bing Crosby again?
Jingle Bells.
All right, got it. Thank you.
You are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. The numbers to call are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would be Joshua Cosman, who writes about classical music and crossword puzzles, does crossword puzzles for The Nation magazine. And Lori Fisher teaches at Diablo Valley College. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Just a slight reminder that we are doing pledging today. We are looking for new members. And if you are holiday-minded and you'd like to contribute to public radio, this is a great time to do it. And to tell you more, I will turn you over to John Carroll.
Good morning. Thank you, Dana. Yeah, we are in the first day of our end-of-year membership campaign, where we're asking not only for new members, but we're asking for folks who may already be members maybe to pitch in just a little bit more to help us meet our end-of-year goals.
That's right. So a holiday present for KAW.
It is a gift that is without restrictions to size, color, shape. It will fit any whatever denomination we will accept. Please help us reach our goals. We actually made our challenge match last hour, so thank you so much for everyone who donated for that. We do have a new challenge match during Minds Over Matter. We have a $1,000 challenge match. I know if we get a lot of correct answers, then Lori will help us get a little closer towards that goal, but we need you to help us meet most of that goal. And that means you can call in and make your donation right now at 1-800-525-9917. Or perhaps if you're holding online to get on the show, you could go onto your phone or your laptop and go to klw.org and click donate to make that gift of support. 1-800-525-9917 is that number you can call, or go online to klw.org and click donate. Please be generous. Remember, you know, Minds Over Matter is a very unique show that's been here on KLW for over 30 years, I think it is now. But without your support, shows like this can't happen, because 60% of our budget comes from folks just like you. So make that gift. Be generous. Do it right now.
A $1,000 match that we have to make by the end of this program at 11 o'clock. And so we're asking, let's get five of you over to your phones or your devices and help us get closer to our $1,000 matching goal. I think it's going to take probably 20 to 25 people to put us over the top here.
Yeah. If we get 20 people who give it $5 a month, that will get us to where we need to be. But certainly no gift is too small. No gift is certainly too large. So if you'd like to make that $1,000 gift right now and help us make that match, you would be the hero of the hour. But it all starts with a phone call, 1-800-525-9917, or that click online at klw.org.
Well, you know, 20, 25 contributors may seem like a big number, but we know that Minds Over Matter has amassed a large, loyal following that listens faithfully to this program every Saturday. And we're asking a few of you to step up to the plate and help us out now during our $1,000 matching period, 800-525-9917, or go online, kalw.org. And now, back to Minds Over Matter.
Thank you very much. And as I was saying during the break, it could be 1,000 people with 100 pennies each. You know, you never, we'll take that. So that's fine. And as I mentioned to John, is, you know, think of KLW as the Tiny Tim of public radio. We have an optimistic outlook. You know, we want the best, but we just have that crutch and that operation we need. So contribute to that, and perhaps it'll help us get strong and healthy. And let's see. Oh, it's my turn. My goodness. All right. Well, let's talk. All right. Let me give you a couple of questions here. So, what is the largest organ in the body at birth?
Isn't it the skin?
No, not skin.
Okay. I thought skin is considered an organ. And
Yeah.
It's the skin. No, it is considered an organ. It's not the largest one.
There's a bigger thing than skin in a baby.
Yeah.
They have more skin than they
can. Well, according to this.
Right. Yeah. Huh.
Not the uvula. What do you think? Everything's tiny.
Yeah, what? I was gonna say. I mean, all the innards, the gizzard and the, you know, all the other things you want to put in the stew.
that's a very weird way of looking at it. This is not my answer, Josh. How about the brain?
I wondered about the brain. I mean, is it the brain, Dana?
It is not the brain. No.
So we're looking for something that's larger than the brain or the skin.
Yeah.
And it's not that cute little tushy.
How about the placenta? Does that?
That is correct.
Oh, of course.
And
it's kind of considered part of the baby.
The placenta is considered an organ. Yes.
Until they cut it, yeah.
And it is well over a pound. So,
And sometimes goes in that soup, I believe. So
I was going to say, I mean, I have come across people in my life who do eating the placenta thing. And
right.
I try not to judge.
I think they do that in Borneo or someplace like that.
Is that right?
Yeah, when the people they capture.
Now you're talking about brain eating the brains.
Yeah, not the yeah. Anyway, let's get back on track here.
All right. Yes, it is. The largest organ in birth is the placenta. It is well over a pound on most babies. Moving on. So only one film has been made with the exact same name as Monopoly Space. What is it?
Atlantic City.
No,
that's not a space. That's where it's all taking place.
No.
But it has to have
the exact same name. So only one film of the properties,
right?
And it's an American film.
I've seen it. It's a wonderful film.
Only one film that has the exact same name as a Monopoly Space. It's an American film.
Yes.
What is it, Josh?
It's called Go.
Oh, okay. You are familiar with that then.
Oh, I've seen it several times because it holds up like crazy. It's got
Sarah, a cult film now.
Sarah Pauley and
Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes, Timothy Oliphant, I recommend it to anyone who's listening who hasn't seen it. It's Taye Diggs is in it and Breckin Meyer. A lot of wonderful actors.
All right. Yes, you answered. Oh, you answered that too. All right. Got to keep going here. I'll find one. Okay. What is back to Monopoly? What is the only property on traditional Monopoly that is not located in Atlantic City?
Ooh.
What is the only property on a traditional American Monopoly board that is not located in Atlantic City?
Huh. Well, I mean, well, go ahead.
Could it be one of the railroads?
I was going to say Reading Railroad because historically goes all the way out to Reading, my wife's hometown. But it may start in Atlantic City for all I know. Is that correct?
No,
it's not Reading Railroad. All right.
All right, so you can leave that one out.
We'll leave that out.
What is the only property in a traditional American Monopoly board that is not located historically in Atlantic City? All right, last question here. Forbes, as usual, comes out at the end of the year or at some point toward the end of the year with a list of the most powerful women in the world.
Mm-hmm.
What are the top five this year? Who are the top five most powerful women in the world? I'll give you each one guess.
I don't know when this came out, but I mean, they would have to put Kamala Harris on the list, right?
No, she was on last year's. I think it came the election. So yeah, she's not really the most powerful.
Okay, so yeah, she's on the list of women with egg on their face now.
Yeah,
Are any of them in the entertainment world?
No, they are not.
Huh.
Well, Taylor Swift's out. Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, not in the top five anyway.
Yeah. So the top five, I mean, are they all?
Forbes deals with economic issues for the most part.
Okay. So these are titans of industry more than governmental.
Well, they are just titans outside of the entertainment industry. Yeah. Let's put it that way. So according to Forbes magazine, who are the five most powerful women worldwide for 2024?
Great question.
It is a good question.
How about a governor in the United States, like Kathy Hochul or the governor of Michigan? Probably not.
There are no governors on this list.
Say it again.
There are no governors on the list.
All right.
I mean, it's hard for me to imagine how Oprah Winfrey ever slips off the list. Is she on there?
No, not in the top five anymore.
Okay, we've heard of these women.
Oh yeah, you definitely.
Okay, all right.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, we're going to think about this.
All right. So,
thinking prime ministers. Yes.
So once more, who are the top five in the Forbes magazine list for 2024 of the most powerful women in the world? Who are the top five on that list? There is an American on that in that top five.
Just one?
Just one.
Oh, that's good to know. I mean, that's helpful.
What is the only property, first question, what is the only property on a traditional monopoly board that is not historically located in Atlantic City? So come up with that. All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, I'm calling about the Carols. I have two guesses. Mm-hmm. Was it Johnny Mathis singing Winter Wonderland?
You know, he did sing it, but he does not have the best-selling copy.
Okay, and I'm wondering if it was Michael Jackson singing I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
I'm going to say yes. It was the Jackson 5 with Michael Jackson as the lead singer. That is the one I have. Very good.
Okay, great.
All right.
Great. Excellent. And I just want to make a plug. I give money every month. It's absolutely satisfying and worth it. And to all of your listeners, I just want to tell you that your friends don't need that shit. Spend some money on donations. Okay.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
All right.
Very much in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. See, that's the kind of listener we have.
We do.
Yeah. And all right, let's see now. Where are we? Okay, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So, good morning. Yeah, first of all, I'd like to recommend all my listeners, friends, to donate to KLAW, the best station besides KBFA after the demise of KGO, some year ago or so. The second half, I'll be very brief because I wanted to raise some money. By the way, Baby, It Is Cold Outside is a very beautiful song. It is the beginning of a BBC production called The Power of Nightmares. If you'd like to know the whole politics in the last 20 years, please Google search BBC production, The Power of Nightmares. 3 hours worth it. It will tell you the rise of the Neocons and the rise of the terrorists. Now, as far as yesterday, KLAW, your call had a guest, a great journalist, but who was rusty in his physics. They were talking about the shameful experiment in San Francisco was subjected intentionally some black Americans to radiation, to study the effects of radiation thing. And that was really shameful because some of them died. Some of them are still living until today. So my question is, what are the three radioactive element that are product of radioactive fallout? Do you know? I'll be very quick again. Do you know? There are three that are very dangerous. One starts with an I. I will tell you because time is short. Okay, do you want to take a guess?
Okay.
Is iodine, no, go ahead.
Iodine 131. That one only has lifetime of 8 minutes. So it does very quickly. That's why I take iodine belts. Because it goes directly to the thyroid and it does cause thyroid cancer. The second one is what is started with a C. Very quickly, I tell you, because there's this education for everybody. Cesium-137. And that one, it goes to the blood. It's very, very dangerous. And that have longer lifetimes, like 28 years. The third one, strontium. Where does strontium go? What part of the body it goes to? It also has very long lifetime.
I don't know, liver? You know?
The placenta.
Bones. So it does kill you. So these poor innocent people were really, 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 they were killed. That's cruel. And the criminality of racism in this country is awful. And by the way, the racism in both sides, boss and backs and boss and white. Just this is very, very, very bad. People. What city was the most progressive in the past, in the 60s, 70s, when I was the worst and run by a bunch of robbers and thieves? Which country? Which city in the East Bay? Please call it. Start with a B. It was the most progressive, you know, Mario Savio.
Berkeley.
Now we're run by a bunch of thieves and robbers. They're never there. Their salaries start at $400 to $500,000. And they are a bunch of dumb idiots. Always great show. Please, everybody, donate to KLAW. It's the only station left after KPFA. We need to keep both of the stations on the air. And with Trump coming in power, they brought him in. watch The Power of Nightmares to know why Trump a convicted.
All right, Eid. Let's not get too political, thank you, okay? Thank
you. All right. Thanks, Eid.
All right. No, we still want you to donate money. Don't let that call get in the way. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Of course, we are trying to attract new members today because KLW can always use new people to support our station because there's just a lot of wonderful programming on KLW that needs to be brought to everybody's attention. And to tell you more about that, I think I'll turn you over to John Carroll.
And you can call us at 1-800-525-9917 or go online at kalw.org and click donate. You can make your gift of support, show your gift of support for Minds Over Matter. Leave us a comment when you're making your gift. You can do so for as little as $5 a month. Maybe you could do $50 a month. Maybe you could do $500 a month. Whatever works within your budget. But the important part is you take the moment right now to show that gift of support for KALW. And Joanne, we have a challenge match going on.
And it's really important that you show your support and appreciation, especially if you're a fan of Minds Over Matter. We have been challenged. We have to raise $1,000 by the end of this program. We have a match put up of $1,000. We estimate it's going to take about 20 of you to put us over the top. So please go to the phone, go to your device, go online, kalw.org, or call us right now at 800-525-9917. We are calling on you, legion of loyal listeners, to step up and turn those good thoughts into action. If you haven't done so already, show your support, 800-525-9917 or online, kalw.org.
And we are about 70%. We still have about 70% of our goal to go. So we have about $700 still to go to make that challenge match. I feel very confident that we can hit that number before the 11 o'clock hour with your support. 1-800-525-9917 is that number you can call. Or go online at kalw.org and click donate to make that end of year gift. Over 60% of our budget comes from our listeners. And so when you make that gift of support, you're ensuring that programs like Minds Over Matter, the news, the music, the other cultural programs that you hear on KLW are here when you turn on that dial or go online and listen on the stream. It's your support that makes it happen. So be generous. Do it right now. Help us meet this $1,000 challenge match. And we're going to go back to our program.
Thank you, John. Yes, remember, Tiny Tim is depending on you. And we have some emails here. Ernie is saying that there were four Greek popes. So, which is not really what you were asking.
Hey, well, I apologize. As soon as I said nope, I thought, I should have checked that because I don't actually know offhand. I knew it wasn't the one. So thank you for the correction, Ernie.
But you were only looking for countries.
Greece was not the answer to my question, but I was wrong to suggest that there hadn't been any Greek popes.
Ellen is saying that Alexander VI was a Borgia from Spain. He was a pope. So,
okay. I don't have my list in front of me.
Shouldn't you have had your list in front of you?
I should have. I should have. Yes. Let's see about this. Countries of the Pope. Anyway, go on.
Lori, something to you. Carlton was wondering if the little drummer boy, the most popular version, was Perry Como.
No, but it's very Perry Como adjacent. I would say an easy listening kind of thing, because I know that version. This one was sold more copies.
Okay. All right. So much for that. And Josh, I think it's actually your turn.
Sure. So I have a question here, which I got from Patrick Berry, who is one of the best puzzle constructors in the country, if not the world. He released a big set of puzzles the other day, which I immediately started solving. And I came across this one, which I'm reusing as a question here. Who is the only female title character in a Shakespeare play who's still alive at the play's end?
Ooh.
The only female title character in a Shakespeare play who is still alive when the play is over.
Huh. I mean, there's only one?
Yeah.
Well, there's not that many female.
Well, that's true too.
But there's Cleopatra's dead. Juliet's dead.
Correct.
Lady Macbeth isn't the title character, but she's dead.
I went down this exact path as I was solving Patrick's wonderful puzzle.
Yeah.
I had to get the crossing letters to get it.
We're going to have dead air here for a minute. There's
No. Let me think.
I'm trying to think here.
Well, no, not the title character. I mean, I was going to Portia's around. But,
She's not a title character.
She's not a character. And it's the character's name. It's not like the Merchant of Venice. Okay,
correct.
It's not a stand-in name for that. All right. Well, this is fun.
Lady Macbeth dies too, right?
She does, and technically she's not. You could make a case she's the title character, but she's dead, so we don't have to think about her. Let's see.
Cressida?
Ooh. That's
final answer?
Cressida?
Yeah.
Cressida is correct.
Nice.
Well
work.
Done. Yeah. Nicely done.
Really?
And while you were thinking about that, I went to the Wikipedia page for list of popes by country, which is where I got this question from, and discovered that Valencia in modern-day Spain was the home to Pope Alexander VI, as our caller said, but also to Pope Calixtus III.
Ooh.
Long forgotten.
Forgot about him, yeah.
Yeah.
You are still looking for
I'm looking for one country that was home to Pope Adrian VI.
All right.
Who was the Pope from 1522 to 1523, if you're keeping score at home.
Oh, I have a guess on that. Now, I don't know. I have no idea that this is only one country. But wasn't there a Pope from the Netherlands or Holland?
That is correct. That is Adrian VI himself in the flesh. Well done. So you guys have done all the papacy questions I can muster for you today.
All right. Okay.
I'll have some more next time.
Excellent.
All right. Good. Glad we got took care of that. And let's quickly repeat anything that's out there. Josh, we'll start with you.
I'm cleaned out.
All right.
I'm looking for two Christmas songs, and they are Winter Wonderland and Little Drummer Boy. These are very recorded songs. I'm looking for the version. Who recorded the version that sold the most copies of those two songs? Winter Wonderland and Little Drummer Boy. We have the others, and that's all I have.
Okay. And I want to know the only property on the traditional American Monopoly board that is not located actually in Atlantic City. So what is the only property not located in Atlantic City on a traditional American Monopoly board? And I have a list of the Forbes that came out for the end of 2024, roughly. Who are the top five most powerful women in the world on the Forbes list of the most powerful women in the world for this year. And there's one American on the list.
How many are heads of state? Can you tell us that?
I don't think I'm going to say. But really speaking, that's not the majority of the list. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Josh, you know, since which used up your question, do you have a quick one you want to throw in?
I have a question. I don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't know how quick it is.
Let's do it.
Try it. Here we go. Of the operas that have been produced at the Metropolitan Opera, which are the first and last alphabetically? And I'm using the language of the original, not in translation, and standard alphabetizing rules, which means I'm eliminating articles, leading definite articles.
So there's something before Aida?
There is something before Aida, and there is something after Die Zauberflöte, which is the magic flute in German, and which demonstrates both of those rules that I mentioned, that would go on the list as in German, in the original German, with the leading article not considered, but there's something later than Die Zauberflöte, and there's something earlier alphabetically than Aida. Neither of these are A-list operas, but they are known. We've heard of them. They're not obscure.
The No, Philip Glass's one about the Egyptian ruler. That's
Akhenaten.
Yeah, that wouldn't be before Aida anyway.
No, it's right after Aida.
Okay. Huh. Can you tell us if it, unless it gives it too much away, what is the nationality of the first opera that you're looking for? The earliest.
I'll tell you both. The earliest one is Italian, and the last one is Austrian.
Hmm. No, that doesn't really help.
Doesn't help, does it?
No. No harm in asking. No.
All right. All right. Someone out there knows these.
Yes, they do.
All right.
But I'm not it.
Yeah.
So somebody here is wondering on the email end of this. Is the Little Drummer Boy? Is it the Harry Conniff Chorale? Is it a chorale?
It is not a chorale. It's just an individual singer. I think all of those, you know, chorales and Mormon Tabernacle Choir, I think they all recorded it, but not. This is much more of a popular mainstream singer.
And Winter Wonderland, are you still looking for that?
I am. My favorite. It's a great version.
Well, that's a pretty early song. Earlier. I mean, it's early 30s.
Yeah, but this version isn't. This version is more, the person who sang this version is still alive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it Doris Day?
Then I wouldn't be interested.
It is not Doris Day.
Okay.
It's shockingly even better than Doris Day, if that's possible. Better than
I have no idea whether Doris
it's Day. It's great. It's great. Yeah.
Is she
still alive? I think so.
Maybe not.
Anyway.
No, Doris Day died a couple years ago.
Oh, she did. But she was well along.
Very, very well along. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And Lori, I believe it's your turn anyway.
All right. Well, I have a very Josh-friendly question, I think. And Dana, too. So this is, I was reading an article about Carnegie Hall, and these are two short questions about that. Mm-hmm. One, I'll give you the year. In 1893, the first world premiere of a work appeared at Carnegie Hall. What was that work and the composer? Huh. And then I won't give you the year of this. What was the first rock and roll concert at Carnegie Hall? At Carnegie Hall. So the 1893 first world premiere, who was it? What was the name?
Wasn't the New World Symphony premiered at Carnegie Hall?
It was. Very good, by Dvorak.
Yes.
Wow, yeah. Well done.
Nice work.
I had
okay.
No clue.
So thank Josh, you.
Thank you. And then Josh, you get the rock and roll. Well, Dana can have that too.
I don't know. Rock and roll concert at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah. I'm not telling the year.
Yeah. No, I really just, I don't have a good sense of, you know, I mean, did the Beatles play there?
They did. They might have, but this would have been before the Beatles.
Okay.
That's a big hint.
Yeah.
I don't think the Beatles did perform there, but this was before
I didn't
they
think
came
so
to the
either.
States. Yeah.
Huh.
All right. So leave that out.
All right.
And we're coming up against a break, so I'm just going to throw in a question of my own here. What was the last Best Picture winner to begin and end with a vowel?
That's Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That's right. Okay. That for you.
All right. Sorry. We've done the vowel challenge on Best Pictures question.
All right.
Are there a lot of them?
For something completely different. What is the smallest organ in the human body?
The placenta, we've established.
No, that's the biggest when you're born. No. What is the smallest organ?
Ooh. Mm. Well, let's see.
We all have one.
Men and women both, right?
Men and women both.
Is it the, name of the thing attached to your pancreas? The little aisles of whatever it is?
Aisles of Langerhans, I think, are part of the pancreas, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
How about in the ear, the cochlea, one of the inner ear things?
Yeah,
is that an organ?
Bones,
Yeah. Is it internal? Is it in the giblet bag?
Is it internal? What do you mean? Yes, it's internal.
Well, not all organs are internal. That's why they're called internal organs.
This is internal.
Like the skin. Joanna's guessing the gallbladder.
It is not the gallbladder.
It's smaller than the gallbladder.
Yeah.
Taste buds are not organs, right?
Anybody who's watched or studies horror films over the last 30 years or so. Ooh. They made a movie where this was the major plot point. So
the fact that it's the smallest, or you mean
the fact that just about this organ and something to do with it. So
is it Jacobson's organ?
No.
Okay. I don't know what that is, but
that belongs to Jacobson.
What is the smallest organ in the human body? Yes.
All right.
Okay, leave it out.
That's good.
And with that fascinating question, it's time to turn it over to John, and then he's going to tell you why questions like this and this show and many of the other shows at KALW are worth your time and money.
They are indeed worth your time and money. Hopefully you're enjoying the quizzes that have been put to you this morning. Perhaps you've gotten some right answers, like I've been able to shout here in the studio, but no one's heard me screaming in the vacuum.
I haven't gotten a single right answer this morning.
But maybe not. But in any case, your support is what is requested and needed at this point, because we have a $1,000 challenge match that we're working on for Minds Over Matter. We are just shy of $400 in making that. So with your gifts of support, we can make that before the 11 o'clock hour. I feel confident that will happen. But it only happens when you take a moment to make that gift of support. So do it right now. Call us at 1-800-525-9917 or go online at kalw.org and click donate to show your support for Minds Over Matter, to show your support for KALW, to show your support for local public radio, radio that informs you about your community, the community that we live in. We are all part of this Bay Area. We live here. We work here. We're part of it. We are not some faceless corporation that is telling you what needs to do. We provide you with a whole series of unique programming like Minds Over Matter, like the music that you hear, like the cultural programs that you hear during the week, and the news that we provide and telling you what's happening here within the local community. So it's your support. It is your gift that makes all of this possible. Take this moment right now during our end-of-year campaign to show your gift of support by calling us at 1-800-525-9917 or go online at kalw.org.
Well, Minds Over Matter, I think of as being kind of an old-school sort of program. You know, it goes back to the days way before AI and automation. You know, when radio used to be live and engaging, and we could connect with each other. And that's what KALW stands for, community radio, real people behind microphones in real time, yep, engaging and connecting with you.
Yep.
So we're asking in turn for your support. If you believe in the idea of community radio, go to your device, go online, kalw.org, or give us a call at 800-525-9917, and a real live human being will answer your call. 800-KALW-917.
And maybe if you don't want to talk to a real live human because it's early and you haven't had that second cup of coffee yet, then you can do it online as well. But I think your point is well taken, Joanne. It's the connection that you make with the shows here at KALW, both, in listening and in perhaps answering some of the questions or providing comments or doing some of the call-in shows, whatever it is, whatever that you find appealing about KALW that makes you listen, think about that and think about how important that would be to you and what would happen if it weren't there for you. And then make a gift to support it, to make sure it does continue to be there, not only for you, but for everyone else here in the Bay Area. So call us right now, 1-800-525-9917, or go online at kalw.org and click donate. We have just about $400 to go. I know we can do it. We're so close to the goal. Your gift can help us get there. Call right now, 1-800-525-9917, or online at kalw.org.
And now back to Minds Over Matter.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. You make me feel like a nostalgia act. And I should be touring with Sophie Tucker or something.
Vaudeville never dies.
Yeah. Anyway, but thank you for that. Let's take some calls because some people have been waiting online. So let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Meredith de Castro.
Hi.
Hi, I have guesses for the powerful women.
Yes.
Georgia Maloney.
That is one.
Of course.
Very good.
And Marie Le Pen?
No, not Marie Le Pen.
Okay. And then, you know, is Nancy Pelosi on there? I mean, she orchestrated.
She is, well, she's a powerful woman, but she's not in the top five.
Okay. Okay. And then the stuff I'm not confident about, is the spleen the smallest organ?
The spleen is not, no.
Okay.
Smaller than the spleen.
I know nothing about an enemy. And then did Danny Kaye sing, which one?
Maybe it's...
I got to guess.
Little Drummer Boy.
Little Drummer Boy.
You know, he might have, but he does not have the biggest selling version of it.
Okay.
Good guess. Like hearing his name.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Are you a show or is it something else?
Kind of a trivia show, but it's...
Yeah, I know. I had this name wrong.
Most trivia shows, let's put it that way.
You're on kind of a trivia show.
Yeah, you're on kind of a trivia show.
Is that me?
Yeah, you're on the air right now.
Okay. I had a question for the audience. Who discovered the electron and whose son went on to get a Nobel Prize for demonstrating the wave-like properties of the electron?
Who discovered the electron and whose son
went on to discover wave-like properties of the electron, won a Nobel Prize for it. Who was that?
I thought you guys were going to know.
I think the person that discovered the electron, if I remember my basic science history, was named Thompson, though I can't remember his first name.
J.J. Thompson.
That's good.
And he had a son, too. Very good. I also had a suggestion that we might take your complete budget and then take 10% of that and have Ede contribute that much to the show up and running.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That's a very interesting suggestion. I don't know as much as, of course, we like Ede, but
we love Ede.
He's more of a cheerleader than a financial contributor, I would say. So.
And I'm not sure what 10% of the budget of the show would be.
Yeah.
It would not be a big burden.
What's 10% of nothing?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet.
And if you want to give us a quick call, we have a few minutes left. And those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866. That sounds like Carmen, doesn't it? 841-41. Or toll free 866-798-8255. Let me go back to email just for 1 second, because I know some people have been emailing. So Donald is wondering if the smallest organ in the body is the thymus, which it is not. At least not according to my list. And Carlton says it's a pretty good show, which is which is very high praise for him, by the way. Pretty good show.
Just today's show or in general?
No, today's show.
All right.
Yeah. He's normally far more down on us. And let's see. Let me just look here for a second. Yes, so Nancy has a correct answer on the most powerful women, and Christine Lagarde is one, and she is the... Does anybody know what Christine?
Yeah, she's the head of the World International Monetary Fund.
Well,
or
no,
some, or
the president of the
World Bank.
Yes, the European Central Bank.
So
good job. And and then we have a CM also suggested Christine Lagarde, and then Carlton suggested Claudia Scheinbaum.
Ooh.
And that was his wife's guess, and he is correct.
Claudia Scheinbaum, yes.
New president of Mexico.
Oh, right. So, is the smallest organ the parathyroid or the thyroid?
It is not, neither one. Mm. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, am I on?
You are.
Okay, yes. This is Dan Drake calling in from Mill Valley. Somebody who comes alphabetically before Aida, namely Lafriquin by Meyerbeer.
Ooh, very good guess. It's not right though, because there's one even before Lafriquin. But I like your I like the way you think.
All right. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you very much. Oh, okay. Well, and you say this one is not, it doesn't really get performed that much, is that?
It doesn't get performed that much. It has been performed in San Francisco, although not in a long while. Hmm. Maybe not in my time here. I have a hard time with it because there's another one that I get confused with it. But I can give you I'll give you the composers of both of the missing operas. The earliest in alphabetically is Francesco Chilea, and the composer of the last one is Johann Strauss.
Oh. Huh.
All yours, Dana.
And this would be in the original language,
this is,
not the translation.
The original language, which is to say German. And with a leading article.
Right. No. So you can't say that Strauss did not write the magic flute, but so what is
he
it?
He didn't.
In other words, that would be Zauberflöte.
That would be Zauberflöte. Zauberflöte.
Flöte. All right. All right. Okay. Move it out. Actually, we have to wrap up in a minute anyway, but let's take one more call and then we'll wrap. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Connie from Florida, aka CM is how I email. You got my Christine Lagarde, and after I sent the email, when you first asked the question, I also thought about the new president of Mexico. So real quick, after Lori's hint, is it Andy Williams for Little Drummer Boy?
Not Andy Williams, but right next door, a little bit older.
Okay, I don't know. The smallest organ, appendix or tonsil?
Neither one.
Okay, and let me see. Seemed like there was another category, but it's slipping my mind right now, so I'll end the call. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you, Connie. Appreciate it. Okay, time to clean up here. And Josh, start with you.
It's these alphabetical operas. I've been sitting on these for a while because they're not quite well known enough to be as fun as a question as I would have hoped. But the earliest one is by Chilea. It's Adriana Lecouvreur, which I think was done at San Francisco Opera in the 80s. And the last one is Strauss's opera, known in English as the Gypsy Baron, but in German as Die Zigeunerbaron. So there we go.
Okay.
That's all. That's me.
You're right. That wasn't as much fun as it.
Yeah, I should have spiked it. Sorry.
No.
The first rock and roll concert at Carnegie Hall was 1955, and therefore had to be Bill Haley and the Comets. The version of Little Drummer Boy, believe it or not, that sold the most copies is by Frank Sinatra. But my favorite on the list is Winter Wonderland, which is a version by Darlene Love, which is just terrific, done with Phil Spector. So that's what I have, and that's it for me.
Okay, and on emails here, Deb actually got, and I admit that there may be one other here. Oh, yes, Michael got it, too, that the smallest gland in the body is the pineal gland. That's, and if you ever saw that, the Reanimator, the second Reanimator film, From Beyond, I believe it's called, deals with enlarging the pineal gland to become become an all-knowing force. Anyway.
Two more powerful women.
Yes. Oh, yes. Powerful
Maloney, women. We got Maloney, Lagarde, and Scheinbaum.
Yes. I'll just read you the whole list here. The number one is Ursula von der Leyen, who's the president of the European Commission. Second is Christine Lagarde, president of the European Central Bank. Third is Giorgia Meloni, Prime Minister of Italy. Four is Claudia Scheinbaum, the President of Mexico. And the fifth is Mary Barra. This is the American who is the head of General Motors.
And then the property in Atlantic City.
Yes. Thank you. The property in Atlantic City that is not actually in Atlantic City is Marvin Gardens.
Oh.
Marvin Gardens. That is in Margate City, which is right next door.